Today, as we move forward in the Word, I want to pull a very familiar piece of scripture from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And as most of the time, I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. Proverbs 3, New King James Version, verses 5 and 6 read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." I want to simply speak to you today on "In God We Trust." And I don't plan on tying you up for too long. I know Brother Slade, he got some banging music for us to listen to. So I'm going to get into this and get right out of it and pray that it is powerful and be brief, but yet has all the power of the Lord Jesus attached to it. Now, as most of us know, "In God We Trust" was adopted as the official motto of the United States of America in 1956. And that was as the alternative or the replacement to the unofficial motto of NASA of "E Pluribus Unum," which was "Out of many, one." So even though our country, for all of its greatness, has placed it on all of its bills and most of its coins that it says "In God We Trust," but we simply know that its actions speak otherwise. So it forces me to wonder, in what God do we trust when on one end we still glorify overgrown boys who are given loud and honor for carrying a ball along a field, but then we degrade them for stopping and taking a knee for a value that they hold? And then it also makes me wonder, in what God do we trust when per capita of more jails than school are being constructed? And what God do we trust when so-called religious men and women begin to preach hearsays instead of preaching the gospel? I don't know, Brother Slade, about all the listeners, but I remember growing up as a child that I had to learn the difference between the children in the neighborhood who genuinely wanted to be my friend versus the ones who only pretended to be my friend so they can play with the toys that I had. Some of our modern day Christians need to heed to that very lesson before they take up the banners of false doctrine being waved and taught across the airways as if it's the next revelation from God. In what God do we trust when electing that it is okay to take prayer out of schools and that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women and all of these other things that we are going to, that we in what God do we trust when we say that our fellow laborers and our fellow neighbors cannot be in the communities that we live in and that they should go back into a foreign land, when we all know that in the true aspect of it, we are all foreigners in this land, and so we can't say that this is my land and this is not your land? And what God do we trust when we start talking of things of that? What God is this that approves of the man's sin, saying that it's okay to sordid, to sadist, sleazy, dirty, seedy, steamy, unsavory, tawdry, cheap, debased, degenerate, dishonorable, disreputable, discreditable, contemptible, ignominious, shameful, and abhorrent behavior, and then they have no repercussion to pay for it? What God is this that we trust that allows all of these things to go on, when we saying that we're still trusting in God, and then we have the audacity to say that we prayed about a situation? Now, perhaps I don't know what God is, but perhaps it is some new idol God. Perhaps it's a mammon, you know, the Aramaic God of wealth. Perhaps it's a god of the country's own design to the trinity of wealth, beauty, and vitality, and wealth being the true reign over it all. I don't know. I truly don't know what god it is. But I can tell you this one thing that I do know, that it is not the great god of heaven. It is not the great god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not the god of our Bible, Jesus Christ. This naturally leads to the question, how do we know when we are trusting in the Lord? Solomon wrote us a few key things, and then I'm going to hand it back over into the hands of Brother Slade. He said, you must learn to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As those issues arise, trust the Lord. I've heard people say that I'm trusting my heart, but the fact of the matter is that Jeremiah says in 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, so who can know what the true intentions of the heart is? When trials come, and no matter what style of life you live, when trials come, they will come. And when tribulations hit, some may feel that they are immune against tribulation, but it will come. You must know that you have to trust in the Lord. We must not lean on our own understanding, because our own understanding will wind us up in a whole lot of dirt and a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of mess that we do not want to end up in. Most of us have a desperate desire to be understood, but in so many areas, we must acknowledge that we cannot understand the true heart of God. We must approve of his ways even when we can't comprehend them. Isaiah 55, 8-9 tells us why we often don't understand what God is doing. It says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. And verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thought. God sees the whole picture, while we only see a tiny corner of it. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death and destruction. So my brothers and sisters, if we want to live, and I don't mean just living in the context of this earthly existence, but I mean if we want to live forever, we must acknowledge the ways of God, even when we don't understand them, that we still must hearken unto his sovereignty and to his deity. If we want to truly live forever, then we must acknowledge the ways of God. Jesus said in John 14 that I am the way and the truth and the life, and that no man come to the Father but by me. A lot of things will sound right in this world that we live in, but we must understand that a lot of times they are just carnal and they are flesh. One of the things that seems so right at times, and I am guilty of it, is karma. Karma, and it is biblical, but we take it in our own perspective and we put our own twist on it. And that, oh, if you get me, then I got to get you, and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and what goes around comes back around. But that is not the true way of God. We must let God handle it, and we must decrease ourselves of it. Another way that sounds right in the world are the works that we perform. A lot of us have come to a state that we believe that what we do means that we shall be granted access to something. But that is not the true ways of God. For we know that the Bible says that obedience that overtakes sacrifice. So we must understand that we may be given sacrifices, but God says, are you being obedient in what I have asked you to do. And a lot of times on the religious side of it, we believe prosperity moves, the words of faith and the seeds of faith, that if I sow into it, we often hear the misinterpreted Bible scriptures of tithing and offering, and we hear them being outstretched. And so we end up to a place where we believe that we can tithe and we can sow into what we want God to do for us, but that is not the true ways of Him. He says that your obedience and your sacrifices, and then your gift will make room for you. We've come to, as the Neo-Pentecostals say, we come to the point of declaring and decreeing all of these things, but in fact, we are therefore denying the sovereignty of God. So I want to leave you with this. Jesus did not say that He was a way. He did not suggest that there are others. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him." So in closing, remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. My brothers and sisters, I want to leave you with something that I let my church know every day to the flock that God has granted me the provision to shepherd over. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. My brothers and sisters, that's the message for today. So I say to you, be blessed and be encouraged and go about your way trusting in God with all your heart.